Hallelujah. Father, we again have a great advantage set before us to receive your word, the seed of your word, and to allow the word of God to wash us and cleanse us, and to continue to work through the blood of Jesus, giving us that right stand in your presence. Lord, we thank you for this. We thank you that you are ministering us to us by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, let none of this word be wasted this day, but that it all be consumed spiritually to nourish us and to build us up in the faith, because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, for those of you taking notes today, we're calling this, He will give good things to those who ask Him. He will give good things to those who ask Him. And I'm taking this from Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through to 12. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through to 12. And I'm going to read this out, and then I want to just open this up and to just reveal by the anointing what is here. And so often what is revealed in the Word is hidden until an appointed time. Did you know that God sets an appointed time, not only individually, but corporately over the body of Christ, in which to reveal truth? And He does that individually with us, so that there is a right time and a right place with God when He will start to reveal to you some of the hidden meanings, hidden principles that can lie behind the Word of God. And that is so, why so often we can look at the Word and say, well, how come I didn't see that 2 years ago? Because it wasn't right for you then, or I. So that is what's so wonderful about the Holy Spirit, who works with opening our eyes and ears and hearts and understanding. And that is why we're calling this morning, He will give good things to those who ask Him. Matthew 7, verses 7 to 12. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good gifts to those who ask Him? Therefore, whatever you want man to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law of the prophets. And I want to couple this also with a very familiar verse and chapter, which probably many of us got underlined. And I'm just going to read it to you very quickly in Mark 11, 24, because here again we have the same principle coming out. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, you will have them. And so here we are, reminded again in our walk over the years, God brings us back periodically to faith, believing, asking. And He doesn't let us go too far in this walk when He brings us right back to these basics that you have been receiving over the years. Now, for some, this can be good news. For others, they can adopt an attitude, well, I've heard this so many times, what new can ever come out of this? Well, never limit the Holy Spirit. And if you walk humbly before God, if you've heard this 100 times, you will still see your need and desperation before God to still need to be taught this. Because we're all tried and tested in the faith. We're all tried and tested with regards to our confession and with that which we ask. And if we're to be totally and truthful, there are times where our confession has faltered. There are times when our confession has changed over the years. Now, because God loves us, He wants us to get back on track. He still wants that confession positive, lining up with the Word of God. That confession that causes you to keep your eyes looking upon Jesus. Have you ever thought that by staying with the Word, confessing the Word, staying with these promises that God has revealed, given to us in the Word, that is all part of you seeking the kingdom. It is all part of you keeping your eyes upon Jesus. So often we hear, don't we, in prophecy, where he says, keep your eyes upon me, follow the Lamb, don't follow any other. And of course we can think about that and say, well, yes, I am following Jesus. I am keeping my eyes upon him. Well, your believing in the promises of God's word is a sign that you keep your eyes upon him. Your confession, which should line up with the word of God, is also a sign that you keep your eyes upon him. Your whole life and consecration, your commitment to Christ, to his body, are all signs that you're keeping your eyes upon him. You see, we can so often say, well, yes, I'm following Jesus. But the point is, if you are following Jesus, then you are following what he's saying in his word. You can't separate any of it. You can't hide behind the fact, well, I've got my eyes looking upon Jesus and I'm not looking to anyone else. Yes, that's right. But then also faith corresponds with deeds. And so you can't just confess one part of it and not live the rest. Because my belief in the promises, my desire to keep with those promises, to confess those promises, to glorify God's name with regard to these promises, are all clear signs that I'm keeping my eyes upon Jesus. Because you can't detach any of this. It's a whole word, a whole gospel, a whole complete work that God is doing with us. In mind, body, spirit. So here he opens up, ask and it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. So there is the principal verse in which to understand the rest of the few verses. And so there is a side of faith that asks. There is a side of faith that seeks. There is a side of faith that knocks, we are told. And that is why God showed years ago that faith is like that diamond that rotates against the light. And from that diamond there comes reflections of light. And all different light forms come from that one diamond. That's what makes a diamond so special. When a diamond is held by light, held up to the light, it's the reflections, it's the colours that come from a true diamond that nothing else can reflect. And so it's the same with faith. Our faith that is a gift given to us, there are many aspects to faith. And so God will remind us of those different aspects of faith from time to time. And again, he's reminding us that he will give good things to those who ask him. Some of us may be battling. Some of us may be thinking, well, do these promises really work? I don't know, I see others who are blessed going on, but it doesn't seem to be happening to me. Well, this is why then we have need of listening to this teaching today. Because God will respect, bless and honour all those who believe. Who have that simple childlike faith, that mustard seed of faith. It doesn't matter who you are, whatever you are, God will bless, honour that. He will never turn it away. We saw this in Jesus' ministry, and that is why it was many who came to him for healing, deliverance, many particularly of the poor, of the lowly, the cast outs, those who are ostracized. They were the ones so often who came with just that mustard seed of faith and they received from Christ. And of course it upset the religious people. And religious people, proud people, are always the ones who think that they are in for the blessings because they should have the blessings. After all, I have been committed. I have given my life totally to God. I have been a man or woman of prayer and so on. And I've heard that said. I've even heard it said out of this assembly. And that's why some don't walk with the Lord, because they have totally missed it. That whatever you do, no matter how long you have been walking with God, how blessed you are, what light you have in the world, whatever, it is simply because God has had mercy. There is nothing that I have done that deserves anything if you have truly been touched by God. Nothing. So whatever we have, whatever God is doing, we give God all the glory, all the praise. And it's not of my efforts, my work, what I have done for God in any way that enables me to prosper. It is simply, at the end of the day, one's faith, believing, confessing those promises, which is all part of seeking and putting Jesus first in the kingdom. Well, it says then, here in verse 7, as I've read, it says, ask, and it will be given to you. Now, this asking comes as a result of you learning the Word of God. This asking comes by revelation, because the Word of God is a revelation. And this revelation has to be opened up to you in order for you to be illumined by the Spirit to understand this revelation. And revelation, the aspect of revelation, is like, again, the deeper life, this open door. You never stop learning where revelation is concerned. This is why I said to you at the beginning that the Word of God is being unveiled to us as we learn it more and more, because it comes by revelation. The prophecy of Joel tells us is in the last days God will teach us by direct revelation. This is why we call it the deeper life. And these promises that we read are an unveiling to us. This is why, you see, when we came into the deeper life, we began to realize that we can believe and confess these promises, but they didn't always manifest as we like. Well, the simple reason is because it's not yet fully revealed to us. There's an appointed time in which these promises, like all the Word of God, is revealed to each one of us. And of course, it's also dependent on the laws of what you sow is what you reap. That is why we encourage you so often to keep in the Word, to listening to the Word and prayer, because that is what's going to take you head and shoulders above so many others. Not that you do that to boast about that, but all of that is that you might mature and grow up as sons for God's glory. And the reason that we tell you to keep in the Word is because the Word in nature is revelation. And revelation is something that you have to be illumined to understand. And we cannot understand everything straight away. And yet we're told we will only, even in this life, know in part. So how great is the Word of God? How vast is it? Well, that is why God is called Alpha and Omega. No beginning, no end. The Word of God is no beginning, no end. So, you know, here we are just in this life, and he's going to illumine and bless us enough that we'll be blessed in this life by the promises of God, and yet these promises are eternal, will go on throughout eternity. So, here we are, he says, to ask. Now, the nature of asking is quite simple. If you don't ask, you don't get. If you don't ask, you don't know. You know, sometimes parents with children, you know, children are sort of going through a stubborn stage, whatever it is. You can tell they want something, but they're not going to ask. They're not going to let you know. They're going to sort of play games with you. And it's like in the end, you say, well, look, I can't do anything unless you say something. And if you want to sulk and be quiet and so be it. And that's how you have to treat children sometimes. And in the end, eventually they'll break and then it all comes out. And you know, we do that with God. We do exactly the same. Sometimes we just don't ask. You have not because you ask not, says in James. And that's why you ask amiss. Now, we ask on the basis of the light that we have received. You can't ask beyond that. If you ask beyond that, then that is flesh. It is carnal, and you will never receive on that basis. We ask according to the Word of God and how the Holy Spirit has illumined, taught us the Word of God. That is why the Word is like a seed. And people reject seed. Sometimes wrong seed, poison has been put in there. Now why does Satan try to inject poison into the Word of God? So that it hinders you from asking from God in order that you will be blessed. He's not stupid. And that's why you've got believers up and down the country, around the world, arguing, bickering over the Word of God. Which simply proves they're not really hearing what the Holy Spirit is saying. No, God has called us to receive a pure word under a pure anointing. And in order for that to be achieved, he keeps us in close check. He is purging us, purifying us, changing these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh in order that this word that we receive is not defiled. Because otherwise, if it starts to become defiled, poison starts to get in there, that hinders you in your relationship with the Lord. It's no longer God being glorified in your life, in your confession, in these promises that we're talking about. Do you see? This is why it's important. Well, here he says, ask, seek, knock. So we're going to look at those three principles. And in verse 8 he says, for everyone who asks, receives. And then he says, those who seek, find. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. So he says, for everyone who asks, you might receive. No?
No.
Not at all. That's what man likes to say, but it's not what God says. Everyone who asks receives. Now I could stop there and finish there and say, I've said everything because God has said it. Everyone who asks receives. Now, can you take that? Does that offend? Does that cut across your theology? Or does something within you just say, I don't want to work it out? I don't even want to think too much about it. God has said it, and that's good enough for me. Ask, and you will receive. You say that to a child, and the child will believe exactly what you have said. Now, why do we question it? Somehow we're saying, but is that really true? Is it that simple? Yes. That's why we miss it, because it is that simple. Hallelujah. It is that simple. And so the promises for those who ask, receive. Now, under that, firstly, God always repeats himself to get a point over. Do you know that? I've already read to you, he said, ask and it will be given to you. Verse 8, for everyone who asks receives. Twice he said it in two verses. God will always confirm a thing in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Whenever God is trying to get a point over, he's going to confirm it, and he's going to confirm it again. And if you still haven't heard it enough, he'll do it even three times. And that is the way we discern and test truth, by its confirmation. And when God is trying to make a point over, he's going to confirm that. And so he's done that twice for us. Hallelujah. And it's on the basis of asking. Now, I've already said, you can't ask unless you know. You can't ask for a thing unless you know what you're asking for. And so that is almost common sense. Now, still under verse 8, secondly, there is an asking by faith according to the word of God. Let's look at Matthew 21, verse 22. Matthew 21, 22. Matthew 21, 22. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. So he shows us that whatever things you ask, this asking is in what? In prayer. So he says, to ask him, you have to be in prayer. And that often means in your closet. In other words, you are a man or woman who is of prayer. You take prayer seriously. And in that prayer, you ask him. Now, that might sound very elementary, but it's no good to Christians who don't really pray. And Christians that don't really pray, therefore, they're not really going to ask, and therefore, they're not really blessed. And so, at the end of the day, it's their own fault. It's no good griping and moaning, because they don't have a prayer life, therefore, they can't ask of God for blessings. And he says, in that prayer, believing, you will receive. So, there is the receiving before you believe. There is the believing before you receive it, sorry. And that's what sorts it out. And so if these promises that you read and claim and believe from, then when you pray, you know you have received by faith. Because Hebrews 11:1 tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, the promises are the actual evidence. These promises are more real than this room, than who you are looking at, that chair that you are sitting on. These promises are more real and eternal than what you see around you or even your very self. The reason I say it is because everything around you is passing away, but the word of God is not. These are eternal, secure. These promises, what I'm giving to you now, will never, ever come to an end. They are eternal. And so this is asking by faith, according to the word of God. You see, Jesus walked by this same principle of faith. It's no different for us and for him. He set the way, we walk like him. And we see that clearly in John 11, the Gospel of John, chapter 11. Here's the story, I believe, of the raising of Lazarus, I think. Right, sorry, Luke. John 11. And verse 17. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. This is Lazarus. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary and comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Now, you've probably read that many times, but never seen it quite in that light, that Jesus too, in his earthly life, had to ask the Father in prayer the same as we do. Now, she knew, she wasn't in that place yet, but she could see in Christ that whatever he asked the Father would give. How did she know that? Because she had seen these miracles that were coming from him. She had said that if you had been here earlier, he would not have died. However, whatever you ask of the Father, he will give. So she was still believing that Lazarus, her brother, was going to be raised. That's the point. But note, she said, you ask the Father and he will give it. Because they had seen Jesus praying exactly the same as us, praying, confessing, believing the promises of God's word. And Jesus revealed he had that simple, childlike faith that love with his Father, that he knew whatever he would pray, God would give it for his glory. Now he's working that in you and I, the same. We see also the same principle in John 14:14. John 14 and verse 14. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. No ifs or buts. He says, I will do it. Because I promise. And I don't lie. So God is really trying to get this home to us. Also we see in John 16. John 16 verse 23. John 16:23, and in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it. He will give it to you. Ask in that day, in that hour. So there is nothing wrong with asking. Have you found yourself now not asking like you used to? Have you found yourself not so diligent over the promises of God? Have you found yourself tiring a bit and really questioning, does this all really work? You know, it's almost fantasy, this. Some, I know, are thinking like that until God deals with them. Don't let it be us. Don't listen to the devil's lies. You see, when you ask in faith, you then thank God that you have received. You see, it's not keep asking him all the time. Mark 11:24 clearly tells us that. Once you've asked, you see, God's not deaf, you praise and thank him. That faith, that expectation is there within you, waiting, ready. And sometimes, yes, it can take a very long time. But the point is, it is there. God has promised. Hallelujah. Well, turning back to Matthew 7. We've already been looking at the key word there, which is to ask. We then look at the next word. He says, everyone, and he who seeks, finds. And again, the Lord reminds us twice, because he spoke first about asking, and then he brings up, seek, and you will find. So again, he repeats himself again in the next verse, in verse 8. Again, seek, he who seeks finds. Now, what do we mean by this? We're keeping all of this in its context. We've already been speaking about asking. So asking is also connected with seeking. So you can't separate any of these divine principles. So we now look secondly at this seeking. Now, the understanding of to seek is to find out. It's waiting upon. It's sitting, it's standing, enduring. It's seeking, observing, watchful, in other words. So with these promises that we believe for, we confess, there's also that seeking. And that seeking is waiting on God, finding out from God. Now there's nothing wrong with you in that seeking, finding out if there's any hindrances that could hinder your faith and to the manifestation. We've asked, there's the seeking. And in that seeking, we seek God. We seek His face. We seek the giver of the promises. And that is vital. You see, there are many who ask, but they're not really seeking the one who's promised and who will give what they've asked for. That comes back to relationship. And so sometimes, just simply in that seeking, you just simply come before God and just say, I'm just in your presence, I'm just seeking you, looking at you, waiting upon you, I'm just before you, enjoying you. That's part of seeking. That is relationship. That's just being with someone you love. Now, if you love someone, you want to be with that person. It's instinctive. That's what love does. If you truly love someone, you don't have to work at being with them. The blessing of relationship is that you can be you with that other person, and you don't have to act. You don't have to be someone. You don't have to perform. That is what true love, fellowship, is about. That is what being with someone in relationship is all about. Being relaxed, being free, not in any way controlled or manipulated or threatened in any way. You cannot ever build relationships up in that. And sadly, that can be so often found in relationships and in marriages. And that's why no blessing can ever come upon it, because you could never make a relationship with God like that. God, who, yes, does control us because we've asked Him to do so, and yet he doesn't do it in a manipulative way. He doesn't do it in a selfish way, even though we've received and taken Him as Lord. Yet He still loves us and is gentle in the way He treats us. You see? So you can learn so much by simply waiting on God as you seek Him. And just knowing that the one that whom you're in the presence with is the one who's heard you and the one who's going to bless you. You know? Could it be that the promises of God, there is something even greater than the promises of God, and that is God's very presence, being in His presence, just enjoying His presence? I believe there is. I believe there's. That is the ultimate of one's walk and relationship with God. That is certainly what the bride is going to pursue and seek as she's making herself ready. She's ultimately just wanting His presence and just to be with Him. Period. So there's this idea then of seeking, waiting, putting God first before asking, seeking His will. See, God loves us to seek His will, because it's by seeking that will with the promises that gives you the confidence in asking. So you can't separate any of this. You can't just say, oh, I've asked of God, but He hasn't given. That's only part of it. Well, were you seeking? Were you knocking? Because you have to take the whole revelation in what it says, you see. So, there we are, putting God first. What does it say in Proverbs 8, verse 17? There's a tremendous amount in this proverb. And I'm sure not one of you is going to turn your nose up on this one. Proverbs 8, starting from verse 17. I love those who love me. And those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. There you are. There's a promise, my friends. Maybe some of you never read that before. God says, if you just love me, you put me first, you'll have wealth. You won't have to beg. You won't be a pauper. In fact, you'll be able to bless others, because it'll be the treasures of heaven, the doors opening. That is what he has said. I didn't make that up. That is why I believe in the abundant life. And you've got people who've thrown that one out with the baby with the bathwater, but it is all there. It's free, but it's not cheap. And that's the point. But God says he will bless with abundant wealth and blessing if you put him first. And he says it's there. But he shows you that all that wealth that you have, the proverb shows us that the relationship with God and God's love is infinitely greater. And you've got to know that from your head to your heart. So some of you may say, oh, well, I'm still waiting for this wealth and everything. Well, God's still trying to work that affection first, for him first. Because otherwise, if you get that wealth now, he'll be down bottom on the list. God knows. He knows the right time, you see. But he's going to bless you. He's going to clothe you. He's going to feed you. See, God won't let any of us be impoverished in that way. But that is what he's ultimately promised there. And, you know, it's really all about finding God to ask him. You can't just switch God on. You can't just suddenly say, oh, I'm asking you now, as though he's just there present. He is there present. But there is a way you approach God. There's a way you come into his presence. You reverence him. You honor him. You respect him. You don't abuse or misuse the generosity of God, which sadly Christians at times do. No, it's that fear of God that is the beginning of wisdom. That is the wisdom that we want, you see. Well, he goes back. We go back to Matthew 7. I haven't forgotten what we're looking at in Matthew 7. So we've been talking about asking, seeking. Now it comes to those who knock. It will be opened. So there's a type of spiritual door, isn't there? There's like something that we knock. We have to find out if he's in, if he's there, you see? Now, like with us, you know, you could go around and you could knock on a door and you're hoping that the person you want to see is there. But there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee that when you knock that anybody might be in the house, or yes, somebody might answer the door, but the person you want to see isn't there or is out, will come back later. So what do you do if you want to see that person? You are going to come back later and you are going to knock again in order for the door to be opened. Now, some people don't go back and say, well, I'm not going to go back again. I've travelled all this way. And if that person wasn't in, well, that's just, so be it. I'm going off. I'm certainly not coming back to knock. And that's why the proud never receive. Because they're not humble enough to go back and to knock again until the door is opened. And so you may go through the first principles of asking. You may pass the test of asking. You may go through all the principles of seeking, and you may pass the test of seeking. But when it comes to the knocking, I'm sorry, but I ain't knocking too long. You fail. So all the two other tests that you passed, I'm afraid you failed in. Because there have to be three tests in order to receive. Ask, seek, knock. And you've got to pass those three tests. And so the third test of knocking is showing God that you are not going to be denied. And the reason you're not going to be denied is because I've just read Proverbs 8:17 onwards, and I rather like what I've read there, and I would like to inherit that. I would like to experience that for God's glory, because he's promised me that. And God says, great, good, it's yours. Come on now, we're going to see if you pass the test. And so if you really want that, you are going to knock. And you are going to knock. And you are going to knock. Because you know he's in there. And you know eventually he's going to get up. How do we know there? Because we're told the master's in. When the widow comes to knock. And that knocking wearies him. He says, I will just get up. To quieten that noise. To give me some rest. Now, if that's put in the earthly sense, how much more in the spiritual? Amen? So, there's this knocking then. And knocking reveals that we fundamentally have the faith. We've had the faith for asking, we've had the faith for seeking, but ultimately, the faith is there now for knocking. And also, it's in the knocking, waiting, where the enemy becomes vocal. And I think that's why God permits and allows it. Because he wants to use the enemy that's suggesting to you that God isn't faithful, that God hasn't answered your prayers. He wants to use the enemy in which to cause you to wax bolder and stronger, which of course will happen if you pass the test. And Satan does become very vocal in the knocking period. He says to you, he's not there, he's not going to open. All you're doing is knocking through into an empty house with nobody there. That's what he wants you to believe. He wants to tell you that God isn't faithful. He wants to tell you that you're taking this faith to extremity. He'll tell you all sorts of things where your mind is still open and suspect to seeds of unbelief. But God's using that. God wants to use that knocking time and period in which to cause you to get stronger in the faith. So that when that door does open, which Satan hates, but it will, see, it does work. God does open the door. Yes, it took a long time. Yes, it took Abraham 25 years. But God opened that door. And that's the point. You see? Don't play Satan's game. Because I think it's probably more in our knocking where we're attacked more in the faith than anything else. And a lot of us at this stage now are in the knocking experience. We keep knocking. We keep reminding. We keep telling him, we're thanking him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You have not denied me. You have these promises here. Yes, I prayed this 10 years ago. I'm still standing. I'm holding on to the promises of God. That's knocking. You see? Knocking also reveals that we love God. We're actually putting God first than before these promises, even though we're desperate for them. That is another clear sign. That it reveals that you're seeking the one whom you're knocking for, who is in that house. And he won't deny you. He will open the door to you. Another reason why I believe we're to knock and to stay with that is because in that period of time we are maturing and growing up as sons of God. That is why it's so important. It's all part of the enduring, staying with it until the end. And so where the enemy's trying to work, where he's trying to suggest and so on, that in actual fact is causing you to develop, to mature, to grow up, you see, which otherwise we just wouldn't. And finally, which I've touched on, this knocking keeps us in a place of humility, humble. knees bowed, broken in the presence of God, so that God can continue to work with us, speak to us, deal with us. So friends, this knocking is not negative. It's anything but, it's positive. But the title which I've given today, He will give good things to those who ask. You've got to meet all the three principles of these promises. It is the asking. It is then the seeking. And it is the knocking, the finding. You are faithful to those three principles which we've looked at today. Your God, my God, will never deny you. He will never deny you. I base my ministry on that. Because if he does, then I no longer ever want to preach behind this pulpit. We have no basis of fellowship anymore. But I know my God, he does and he will. And he has made these promises. I have given to you how he has revealed this to me through the week. Yes, I've gone through a real physical trial this week. A real test. One of the worst viruses that I've had. You know, and everything within me says, I'm not going to go back ministering anymore. You can keep your foreign countries and everything. How the devil's pounded and had to go. You know, it's not worth it coming back and catching all of this. And I mean, you know, people that I was praying for, all I was hearing around while I was there, I've got fever. So I kept thinking, well, maybe they get, you know, just a little touch of malaria, you know, that's called malaria. Of course, when I actually asked Danny what this meant, he said, no, it's flus, it's colds. And I thought, oh, they get it as well then. You know, you tend to think that it only happens in England in winter when it's cold and grey. No, not at all. Not at all. Hot countries get it just as much. They're going through it now. It's their winter out there, even though it's 30 centigrade and whatever. But they're still getting it. Of course, they're coming up. They're coughing and splattering and everything. And I'm sort of thinking, praise the Lord. You know, there's germs flying everywhere. And God is getting me to that place where nothing will touch me. I know. I know I shouldn't come back with this. If God has sent you, he sent you and he prepares you, he protects you. So God is still working with me. How do I know he's working with me? Because he wants to see me continue knocking, until finally that door is open. I know. I don't have to search Revelation scripture. God tells us these things if we're humble and we want to know what he's saying. You see. But he knows how to get you to a place of desperation, because I'm thinking, I ain't going to go through this anymore. I truly am not. So this does work, and God will answer me. He will protect me. He will preserve me. And if he wants me to go to these foreign countries where, you know, they've got, you know, in the natural, you don't immediately go into these countries. This, of course, is the big problem, and this is why we have the problems of disease and viruses like we have now in our countries that we didn't have, say, 30, 40, 50 years ago. And the reason being is because you fly today, and within a matter of 10 hours, you're from one environment plunged into another. Have you ever thought what your body, your immune system is actually going through? Have you ever actually thought that? We've lived all our lives in a climate, in what we have, and suddenly you have been translated virtually into another climate, another environment, different bugs, diseases, and your immune system has suddenly got to come and switch on and preserve and keep you, which you can't do. Immune systems have to be built, have to be built up, climatized. This is why we have the problems we do. And of course, when you're flying, you know, you're again in a sort of artificial environment, you know, with, and this is why they tell you to drink plenty of water, and for those, if they have problems with legs and clots and things like that, then they will say it's not advisable to fly. So we're in these conditions, you know? So I've said to the Lord, Lord, if you want me to preach and everything, then I'm going to believe by your word that you will provide for this. That this will not come nigh my dwelling, as it says in Psalm 91. But it's knocking. See, I've done the asking. I've done the seeking. And my mind will say, well, what goes wrong? God's saying, stay with it. Confess it. Keep knocking. Don't take no for an answer till you get the victory in this. Simple. So you see, friends, I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching with you. Because I too have had to go through what I'm preaching here today. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you. You love us so much. That you're not going to let this fail, Father. And sometimes you take the trials and tests in our lives in order to just bring it out, to bring it home. And Father, we have heard it many, many times. And yet today, Lord, it's like fresh revelation. It's fresh manna. It's what we needed to hear. Because you know that some of us have been battling. This may not have been the knocking that we have been doing, that just persistent, not giving up. You have promised, you have given it, I will not be denied. And so, Lord, I thank you for this. I thank you, it's all a work of your Spirit at the end of the day. There's nothing in this we can boast about. And so, Lord, I pray you'll bless, preserve, keep each one of us, all those of our brothers and sisters who have come into the room today on the internet, be with them also. Until we assemble again, in Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. Amen.